In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a seat, if you would. In the first reading we hear, it's chapter 1, verse 4 to 10, in Jeremiah. So it's the very beginning of the book of the prophet Jeremiah, and Jeremiah's call is recounted for us. So here's Jeremiah, this relatively young kid. And he is resting, and all of a sudden he gets this call from God. And God says to him, Jeremiah, not exactly in these words, of course, Jeremiah, he says, I am calling you to be a prophet, and I am putting you over all the nations, not just Israel. He says, over all the nations. And Jeremiah's response is, I'm not ready for that. I'm a boy, and I don't need that kind of responsibility. And God comes back at him and says, but I am calling you, and do not worry, or as they say in Texas, don't fret none, because I will put my words in your mouth. And so Jeremiah accepts this responsibility, and you read the rest of the book, you kind of know where that went. And the great things that Jeremiah was called to do over the next 40 years of his life. And in the gospel, we experience the very beginning of Jesus' public life. And so he is in the temple. He had been in Capernaum, which is over near the Sea of Galilee. And he travels west to Nazareth, to his hometown. And he appears in this reading in Luke, toward the beginning of Luke, he appears in the temple. And so he's reading in the temple, and the people in the temple are amazed. Isn't this guy one of ours? Isn't this Joseph's son? And they had heard of the wonderful miracles that he had wrought in Capernaum. And so Jesus turns to them and he says, I bet you're thinking that I, as a prophet, am going to perform those miracles here in Nazareth. He says, well, but I'm not. And he says to them, remember Elijah? Because Jesus had already quoted to them from Isaiah. He had also quoted from Proverbs, you know, in the reading that we have today. He says then, remember the prophet Elijah and how it was with him. And when people were starving to death and he didn't provide the people of Israel food, but he provided it to the foreigner. And remember how it was with Elisha and the lepers. And how it was that Elisha, you know, Jesus said there were lepers all over the place in his hometown. But he didn't cure any of them either. He cured Naaman, that Syrian guy, that foreigner. And so Jesus was setting the theme of what his ministry was going to be about. And how it was that each and every one of, well, and by the way, then they drove Jesus out of the city to the cliff. And I was in Nazareth, and I don't remember any cliff whatsoever, but I guess there was one somewhere. Drove him to the cliff, you know, to get rid of him, because they did not like his message. Because his message was calling them to something that they weren't ready for. His message was calling them to love everyone, to love the foreigners, to love the Samaritans and the Syrians and those folks who we've been at war with for a long time, to love them. I was reading this week from Thomas Merton. Some of you may have read some of Merton's works, Seven Story Mountain, and those things. But this is from a book called The Power and the Meaning of Love. And Merton says this about love, that love that Jesus was calling those people to in Nazareth. And that love that God was assuring little Jeremiah that he would put on his lips as he prophesied. And here's what Merton says. There is a romantic tendency in some Christians, a tendency which seeks Christ not in love of those flesh and blood brothers and sisters with whom we live and work, but in some as yet unrealized ideal of brotherhood or sisterhood. It is always a romantic evasion to turn from the love of people to the love, to love of love itself. To love people in general more than individual persons. To love brotherhood or sisterhood or unity or freedom more than one's brothers or one's sisters, one's neighbors, one's associates. And so, I mean, he goes on and on. And so Merton continues, you know, and he's talking about how easy it is for us to say, well, yes, we love our neighbor. We want to love God. We want to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And our neighbor is this sort of idealistic, you know, sort of ethereal person or whatever that we love. But what Jesus was calling those people to at Nazareth wasn't about loving your neighbor sort of esoterically out there, but loving your neighbor who appears in your face as another human being, a real person, and somehow getting through whatever it is that divides us, that separates us, that keeps us from loving each other. And you all have heard me preach on this stuff before, over and over again. But I keep saying it because it keeps being appearing in the Gospels. Well, how can that happen? That Jesus over and over and over again, by how it is he preaches in the temple, by who it is he cures, by who it is he forgives, by who it is he approaches, those foreigners, those outsiders, those others, calling individuals not just to love your neighbor, but to love your neighbor who has a name and a face and a disease and a sin and is very different from you and practices a different religion and might be a different color or a different orientation, to love that person. And love, as St. Paul says in Corinthians, is not some sort of esoteric, you know, thing that we believe in our head. It's how we act. And he goes on and on. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth, which is the essence of prophecy. Telling the truth to power. That's how we define prophecy. Not telling the future, but telling the now to those who have power to change the now and to move from sin into love. And that's what we're called to today in our readings, as we are called to over and over and over again. And it happens, as Merton says, not by coming to church on Sunday and praying the creed and assuring each other that we love each other, because we only see each other once a week, right? It's easy. but that we love whoever God brings into our presence. Whether it's our presence in our home or at work or at school or in the newspaper or wherever it is, God is calling us to stretch who we are, to somehow love each other and to love our neighbor as we love our God. And this plays it out. We celebrate this on Sunday, and it plays itself out each Sunday at our table, where it is that we celebrate this love of Jesus together. And it is in and during our celebration together that our God comes to be one with us in a real presence that we believe and we celebrate. And it is that real presence that is among us on that table that comes to live inside of us when each of us as individuals from near and far come to this table and receive that presence into our very being. It becomes very personal, very one-on-one, very in-your-face, as it were. And the challenge rests in our very being to become like Jesus in how it is that we love each other, how it is that we live out our day together, and how it is that we move forward as a group and as individuals, building a better world, building a world of love and peace, building a world of acceptance and not rejection, building a world of bridges and not walls, building a world that invites people to be one with us and doesn't reject them for any reason, doesn't keep them from our love. And that's why it just keeps appearing in the Gospels over and over and over again. Because it is the Urgrund, the ground of all it is that we are as Christians. It's why we claim that name. It's who we are. And it's who we want to become even as we move through our journey in our own sinfulness and inabilities to be perfect. And so we trust in the forgiveness that comes to us from God as we journey forward from this place, bearing in our hearts the deep desire to love as St. Paul tells us in the second reading today from Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. To love each other and to be that loving presence of Christ. Not just do, but be that loving presence of Christ to virtually everyone that God would bring into our life. Amen.